everybody. Welcome to the Christian Indie Writers Podcast, where we inform, encourage, and support Christian indie writers on the journey toward publication. I'm Christina Catane, and I write in multiple genres, including Christian fiction.
I'm Jamie Hirschberger. I write short fiction under the pen name J.R. Nichols.
I'm Rhonda Hagerman, and I write fiction and nonfiction.
And I'm Jennifer Carl Tong, and I write historical Christian romance.
Awesome. So we like to start each episode with a segment we call What's Up, where we go around and find out what's going on in our professional and personal lives. So let's start with you, Jen. What's up?
Well, I have been trudging through book 3 of my series as usual, and I'm still working on that chapter that that I presented for the postcast last time that needed a lot of work. So, but I feel like I've really come over a hurdle, and I think that by the end of today, I'm going to have a chapter that's so much better. So I'm really good, glad about that. I'm still waiting on my editor for book 2. And book 4 is just sitting there waiting for me to come edit it when I'm done with other stuff. So professionally, that's going pretty good.
Four books. That's
four books.
Yeah. Wow.
Right.
Good for you.
I know, it's very exciting. Like when you start writing, so anyone that's watching this, like I just want to encourage you. I started with what's now book 3, and you just feel like, it's going to take forever to write this, or maybe you think you have that one book that's going to be that breakout. No, you have hundreds of books inside of you, and you can do it too. So I'm nothing special. So, and personally, things are good. I mean, the sickness that's going around, everyone else keeps coming around my house too. My one daughter's home because she hurt her foot, and I've got another daughter on her way here. My dad is picking her up. So if my dogs start barking and I mute myself, that's because she's come home. Because, you know, this is, you know, my life. But we're doing good. So it's cold outside here in Michigan. And so. How about you, Jamie? Is it cold outside there in Florida?
Yes. I mean, I think it's only going to get up to like 68 today.
Oh, burr.
My little violin.
So, like, personally, things are terrific. You know, I live in Florida, and it's the middle winter, so I really can't complain. Professionally, guess who just published her second book? Woo!
Yay!
You know, I haven't really taken any time to celebrate because my tendency is to, like, minimize what I do, and I'm horrible at comparing, and comparison is the thief of joy. I don't know why I can say that so freely but not internalize it. Because as I'm putting out my second book, I'm, of course, looking all around at everybody else putting out their 15th or whatever. And I kind of want to minimize my accomplishment. But you know what? I'm going to own it and say I did it. It was a long, longer than I wanted process and a big old learning curve. And I'm hoping that as I continue to regularly publish, these things will become a little bit more second nature to me, which is the name of my second book. Go buy it right now. And I will get this publishing thing kind of rocking and rolling so that pretty soon I can be even more excited about my professional accomplishments.
Hey, Jamie, do you have any like kind of target for when book 3 is going to come out?
Yes, I do. Okay. So I was going to release a short story in February because I didn't really realize how happy I was going to be with book 3 of this particular series, but I think I'm going to change and launch book 3 on February 14th so that I can ride that Amazon algorithm and have it published within the next 45 days of publishing this one. So February 14th is the target date for that.
All right. So ladies, mark this on your calendar because she has just self-admitted that she like underdoes or what was the word you used?
Undervalue.
Undervalue yourself. So we are going to plan a launch party for book 3. I'm not kidding. We're going to like show you how you should be treating all this hard work that you put into this. And it's the last book in the series. So we're just going to like kick it off with a great, some sort of online party. So
well, that's important. Really awesome of you to
I did
say.
Send her Bollywood dancing gifts.
Did you?
Pina says, when you finish your manuscript, you should enter your writing group like it was a scene in a Bollywood movie. It was really funny that she shared with us. But I do have to say there's supposed to be possibly a fourth book. I wrote it as a nano. So, you know, you write 50,000 words in November. Well, it's probably 30,000 words of just absolute garbage that is not usable. But there's a book 4 that ties the 3 books together. So, but I will accept your launch party because, yes, I do need to give myself the encouragement that, you know, you have to fill your own tank. You can't look around for other people to keep you motivated and excited. So thanks, ladies.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
What about you, Rhonda? What's up with you?
Well, let's see, in my personal life, non-writing life, we're going to Florida tomorrow. So woo-hoo-hoo! I can also deal with like 68 degrees. It's going to be hard, but I'll be with you there, Jamie. And then also, I've been getting a lot more writing time than usual. My husband and I decided to start skiing again this year. And so I've been doing a lot of skiing type exercises, and I'm in a lot of pain a lot of the time. So sitting on the couch, I just put my computer on my lap and do a lot of writing. And I do, you know, mostly nonfiction is what I do. And so I finally just have the first draft of my first fiction novella done, not counting the one that I'm doing with my mom, because this is pretty much on my own. But
do the Bollywood music.
Well, I got it done a couple weeks ago, but now I'm, you know, working on my second draft of it. And I just really like this book. So I'm saying this to say I'm in a good place with my writing right now.
Yay.
So, very excited for you.
Thank you. So what are you doing, Tina?
Well, I'm plugging away at my novel Lost that I've been working on for a decade or longer. and I'm so close to having it done. So I'm getting really excited about that. And I have a good momentum going, and that percentage just keeps going up. I think I crossed the 50% thing a while. And I'm like, I think I'm close to, I crossed 50,000 words. That's what it was. Not 50%. I've been over 50% for a while, but I broke 50,000 words. So awesome. That was like nice. And personal life, like I have a teenager taking driver's training. So you can pray for us about that. My adult children are, well, most of them are doing really well in their lives. And we had them all over for Sunday dinner on Sunday. And, it was really nice that they all came. So
that's great.
Yeah. Okay. So we are going to talk, our topic for today is office hours. So we decided, I'm off after NaNoWriMo, I believe, is when we had the discussion, or maybe during NaNoWriMo, about having office hours where we're expected to punch in and work on our writing and then punch out. And so we started that, and we've been doing that. And so our discussion today is basically about how that's been working for us. So who feels so excited about this they want to start us off?
Well, I'd like to start off saying, like, I remember, I know exactly how this started. It was Jamie and I originally were in a hangout like this writing, and I had been thinking about it for a long time, thinking that this is so good for me that every day I'm finding one of my writing pals to keep me accountable, and I'm getting so much done. Why don't I continue this? And I kind of, without thinking too much about it, just said to Jamie, I think we should do something like office hours. Because, you know, you go to, if you have a job that you go to every day, you have to show up at an exact time. That's your job. You have to be there. And you might get there and you might chit chat with people for a while, like the water cooler time and like that. But at some point, you have to go to work. There's this expectation that you are going to work because you're there. This is your job. And you, everybody else keeps everybody accountable, because if one of the people that you work with is not doing their job, it's going to affect everyone else, right? So you might chit-chat, but you keep each other accountable, and it's just something that you have to do because it's your job. So how could we make this into something that works for us as writers? And so that's kind of where this came from. And I just kind of like threw it out there. And honestly, I thought nobody was going to want to do this.
I know, I did not want to do it, because part of the reason why I decided to write as my quote unquote second career, not that I ever had much of a verse career, but the point is my children are getting older and your thoughts kind of start to turn to, could I be making an income? Could I do something with my skills or whatever? So part of the reason I did a little bit of gig economy and decided to write was so that I could have a flexible schedule. And I was thinking to myself, no way do I want to conscript myself to a rigid punch in, punch out kind of a situation. But I did realize that every single self-made person, self-driven person does operate in sort of that way. And I did realize that I can do this for however long I need to or want to prove to myself that writing can work for me. When I decided to become a writer, I'm like, I'm giving it 5 years, 5 years of a solid effort. Well, I need to define for myself, what is a solid effort? So to me, a solid effort is committing to spend this amount of period of time every day on this and find out if it's going to work and be profitable. Otherwise, I'm just kind of grasping at the wind if I don't have a set plan to follow and then evaluate if it works. What am I evaluating if in 5 years I've piddled around and spent all of my time cruising Facebook? Have I really honestly made an effort to be a writer? If that's the case. Do you guys have anything to say about as far as, I mean, you know, we have the ability to do this virtually now, right?
Mm-hmm. What were your guys' first thoughts when the idea was first kind of brought up? Because when I thought that, I honestly thought, like, no one's going to like this, but I'm going to say it anyway and we'll see what happens. But what
No,
what were
your I thought it was a great idea because I love boundaries. You know, I like knowing what my boundaries are and then I do whatever I can to work within them. And, so yeah, it has been working out fantastic for me. I've been so blessed by this a thing that we've started doing that I'm really glad you brought it up and that you guys were willing to do it.
I don't so much love boundaries like Rhonda does, but I function better within them. Mm-hmm. Like I'm that child, you know, who needs boundaries but will kick against them.
Yeah, oh, me too. But I do, as an adult, I know I like them.
So, well, originally, I think it was just we were going to sprint together every day at a certain time, right? And then it kind of mm-hmm. morphed from there.
I think originally, didn't we talk about, I said myself personally, 8:30 works for me. That's what when I'm going to show up. And originally, I think Rhonda was coming later. Like it was your schedule was going to be, so we're going to kind of overlap and whenever anybody wanted to show up, and then we would kind of do it. But these were the times that we were setting up sprinting. But it's kind of changed since then. It's mm-hmm. everybody, like it's 8:30. Like everybody, like this is what we do. Like, and if we can't be there, we have to tell you why we can't be there. Like,
yeah.
When, like, I've had to like take my daughters to school a couple times, so I've not made 8:30. I've not been able to be there till 9. And if I don't message you guys, I hear it. Like all of a sudden, you're like, "Where are you?" Blah blah blah. You know, like, or so. That's been really cool because if we weren't doing office hours, and I would take my girls to school, by the time I get back, I'd be like, "What should I have for breakfast?" Mm-hmm. And, all the dishes. Let me do those up real quick. And then before you know it, it's 1 o'clock and I've not written at all. For now, it's like I'm rushing in the door, get my computer set up before the next print. And so
before we come after you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I started doing 8:30 because I started thinking, you know, if I come in at 11 and you're done at 11:30, it's overlapping. That's fine. But am I really going to hang around till 1 o'clock? And no, I wouldn't have. So I need you guys to be looking over my shoulder.
That's kind of what happened with me too. I had said 9 to 12 because it's kind of hard. I'm not a morning person. So getting here by 8:30 and being ready to write is a struggle for me still a little bit, but I've been getting closer to 8:30 as we've been going on.
Well, so. And I think that that can be fine because for everybody to know how we've structured this is we've just made it a thing like whoever is there at 8:30, that timer is starting. And so if you kind of stroll in a little bit late because it takes you a while to wake up, that's fine. But the expectation is that you're quiet and either writing yourself or getting yourself in the mode of writing and you don't like start trying to chit chat with anybody. So what we do is we from 8:30 to 8:55 is the first sprint. Then there's a 5 minute break for getting that extra cup of coffee or using the restroom or whatever. You can say good morning to anybody who's newly joined. But it's a very clear that you set expectations if you're going to do something like this as to what is happening so that people aren't disappointed and, you know, upset that things aren't going the way they expect.
Mm-hmm. And it's really nice to know if I miss that 8:30 bell, so to speak, that I know at 8:55 is when you guys are done. And so I kind of have from till 8:55 to be ready to get into them. Because, we have a hangout that we've bookmarked. We go to the same hangout. And so we have it bookmarked and we just go in there. And so it works out pretty good. And, all through NaNoWriMo, I was thinking, this whole thing where we were sprinting together every day was really productive for me. It really increased my productivity during that month. And so to continue that, I was really also really good for me. I've been able to separate, the writing sprints are for, so far I've been working on my novel. And then when we're done with the writing sprints, I've been working on blog posts for writingshorts.com. And that's been working out too, because then I'm giving equal time to both things.
Yes, we do three sprints and then we spend the balance of the time kind of water cooler style, like Jen said. We chit chat while we're doing things like, I don't know, cover design or brainstorming or other types of writing work. For me, it's figuring out the whole advertisement thing for my published books for Rhonda, it's genealogy type research or whatever it is. And we're not all always writing during the sprints either. They're just 25 minutes of focused work. Is that true? Some of you not writing during the sprints?
That is very true. Like I found myself like even this morning, Jamie and I kind of had impromptu office hours because normally on Tuesdays when we record, we don't do that. And I got in there at like a minute late, and the timer was going off, and I knew. She said hi, Jen, and then hi, and that was it. But I wasn't ready to write, so I was working on other things. So yeah, that has been my experience at least. That I try to write those times, but if I can't, then I find other quiet things for my career that I work on.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's the important thing is that I can say, okay, well, I got my goal of the word count in, but then I can do whatever I want. I'm stuck here for another hour and a half, but I can do whatever I want. And that's not the case because I can really get distracted researching on whatever. So I'm very specific about each half hour that I'm using.
Yes, and I think that Rhonda, for you hyper planners, if you're waking up in the morning and having a daily to-do list, you can structure your office hour time to get some really specific goals met. Like, before I move on to research, I'm going to write 250 or kind of whatever, right? And so you can see your productivity for each day as well as it accumulating as the weeks go by. I'm very excited about planning something new to write. If you're writing three sprints a day, who's to say that you couldn't churn out a novel? I'm saying the royal you know what I mean? Just any person. You could be writing at a NaNoWriMo pace on a regular basis if you so desire. So I'm really excited to see how this is going to go in the future.
Right. I agree with what you just said because, well, first of all, yes, my Bujo has been very happy with me the last couple of weeks. So that's good. But when you think about having to write 1,700 words a day, you think that is going to take up so much of my day. But if you have this set aside, in the beginning, I used to feel guilty about doing whatever, like getting distracted with some weird research when I should have been writing. But I thought, wait a minute, I've already got my writing in for the day. I can write if I want, or I don't have to if I don't want. So that's also helped, writer guilt.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that once I get lost finished, that how I break up those writing sprints is going to change because right now my focus on is getting this first draft of this rewrite done. And then so I have like this whole thing planned out of what I'm going to do next, but so I'm sure how I break up that time is going to change then.
How do you, so right now, how do you use your office hour time, Tina?
Well, if I make it to the first sprint, then I do three sprints
Of writing,
of writing on my manuscript.
okay.
And then after that, I tend to switch over to blog posts. And that's not just writing. So you have to come up with the idea. And then I have to go through the internet and read what other people have wrote about it and do some research. And then I usually make notes when I'm doing that. And sorry, I have a distraction over here.
Aww.
Somebody just jumped on me. Anyway, so then I make an outline, and then I usually do the writing, and editing and all that once I. So.
All
you
right.
Like my bunny?
I do. It's some bunny to love.
No. He's trying to get on the table.
Tina or Jen, how do you utilize your office hours?
Right, what I do the very first sprint is always writing. Like writing has to be, in my opinion, has to be your top priority, because if you're not writing, it doesn't matter how many book covers you create, doesn't matter how much editing you do, like you have to be producing new work if you want to be a full-time writer. So the first sprint for sure has to be writing, and it's not always stellar. Like it depends on how my morning has been. But if I make myself write that first sprint, then I'm that second sprint, I want it to be writing, because I'm usually like not done with my thought or what I want to do. Usually after three sprints, I've kind of gotten my creativity out and gotten kind of, I've usually met my goal and like that. So I try to do writing in those three sprints whenever possible. And then in our chit chat time, which I've not been really good, I used to just chit chat, but I want to be able to work on things like the book covers, and things that don't need me to stop talking while I'm working on them. Because there have been times in the evening when we have all kind of just like gathered online just for the heck of it, because someone is, you know, hey, what are you guys doing? And then we end up chatting or sending memes to each other. Or anyway, usually when we do that, I start working on book covers and things like that. So that's my how I like to structure it. What about you, Jamie?
I write for the first sprint. Well, okay. Every day I write 1,000 words is my goal, even though my official goal is 500 words because I'm a coward. So I have been writing 1,000 words a day pretty regularly. And once I've written 1,000 words, I switch gears because I'm in a little bit of a different place. I have such a backlog of work that I would like to edit and publish that I really need to spend a lot of time doing editing. But I would like to keep my brain glowing, like that article that Tina has posted in the past. And so I do write every day. And I would love for it eventually to transition into I'm writing a new work for publication. But that requires that in some of the time after the writing sprints are over that I'm outlining or preparing or even having an idea of something to write. So right now, my time is kind of this is an anomaly for me, I believe, that right now most of my office hour time is spent figuring out how to do a book cover, figuring out how to publish, figuring out how to promote, and also editing stuff in my backlog. So for me, the office hours is really good at kind of reining me in so that I do not have workaholic behavior. So I don't spend too much time doing this kind of nonsense.
I found that myself too. I find that it like when that timer goes off, it stops me from editing or working out because I can be a workaholic too. Sorry, go ahead.
That's all right. We haven't really heard from Rhonda, have we? How you use the office hours?
I think so. The first one is always for writing, just to make sure I get that in. And then it has been where the second one's for writing too. And then the third one, I've been trying to write blog posts because I need to get my blog filled with posts, and I'm not doing that. So that's what I do with my writing sprints. And then the other parts are doing research for the book, because I'm not letting myself go online when I do a sprint. You know, a sprint is a sprint. And so I save that for the glorious research for after.
Amazing. Well, so it's 75 minutes of focused writing time that we're all putting in. So I'll be excited to see. We're at about episode 25-ish for the podcast. I'd love to see where we're at by episode 50, being as we're all being so committed and dedicated and focused on actually making progress. It'll be really great to check in, or we'll know because we keep asking each other how we're doing.
Right.
So for anyone out there that is saying to themselves, I want office hours, I kind of think like in a nutshell, we're saying that, first of all, would you guys agree? Expectations. You need to make the expectations very clear, like what we have done, that these are the times that the sprints will be. And if you join us in the middle of that, you come in quietly because we are writing. Like that's what we're going to be doing. And then so making sure that you have a structure so that your expectations make sense to the people, and then having clear-cut goals for yourself personally so you know what you're doing with those time periods. Would you guys agree that that would be some good places to start?
Yep.
Yes.
Definitely.
But also, you need to know yourself well enough to know if you need within your office hour group some accountability somewhere. So did you write your 1,000 words, Susie Q? Did you, you know what I mean? Because we're checking in with each other in the accountability corner, and that keeps us going. But if you're the kind of person that needs someone to look over your checklist and make sure that you've done what you say, you need to communicate that expectation as well to your friends, and then allow them to kick your booty if they need to, and just accept it because you need it.
Mm-hmm. And so I think that another really great thing about this idea of office hours is that we have heard from other writers that it's that they want to be in a writing group, but they haven't been able to find the right people. And we've given suggestions on how to do that. And but we understand that we are blessed and that we found each other. I think it'll be a lot easier to find office hour friends, because you don't have to be in the same genre. You don't have to have a whole lot in common. You just have to be able to show up at the right time. And maybe out of that, naturally, you would get writing partners from that. So my suggestion would be go on to Twitter, Instagram, whatever is your social media of choice that you have been connecting with other writers. And if you're not connecting with other writers, I suggest you try that. Join Twitter, use the hashtag writer community or writers community, and say, hey, I'm new here looking for some writing friends. And you'll be shocked at how many people reach out to you. But just put a tweet out there, say, hey, writers community, I'm thinking about doing some office hours. Would anybody be interested in setting up a schedule to do writing sprints with me and see what you come up with?
And really, we are blessed that we can do this virtually through a Google Hangout. I am really sad that I now am way too far away to meet every day at a Panera or a coffee shop or, but to be honest, the attendance is going to waver a little bit. Like if you're expecting me to really get dressed and come out to a real office and participate, like, you know, the podcast wardrobe is like 8 or 9 beautiful tops and a pair of leggings. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not going to be seen in public that way. So I think that your dream may be to have real life face-to-face contact, but I think it's wiser to make those special occasions, because virtually participation is going to be a lot better for you, in my opinion.
I write better in my pajamas anyway.
You don't and have to be, and then like you pointed out, you don't have to be in the same state. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be in the same city. You don't have to be in the same country, and you can get together. Mm-hmm. And if in the meantime, if while you're trying to find somebody to do this with you, you could do it on your own. There's some great apps out there for timekeeping, like Toggle. I use Toggle for my other job to keep track of my hours that I work. And you literally punch the thing and it keeps track of how long. You can either count up or you can count down, however you want to do it.
That's very satisfying for people to punch in and out. And it's a good way to prove to yourself that you did something, right? Right.
And it gives you like a graph at the end of the week to show you what you did. And so nice. if you like that kind of thing and you want to see it visually, what you did, that's a great app to use. I'm sure there's others out there. That's just the one I'm familiar with.
And then if you do find partners, then that you can meet up with, then all you have to do is go to hangouts.google.com. And it's very simple on how to start a hangout. We do set a different kind of hangout, one that is recording, but you don't have to do that. You just have to have a hangout where everybody can go in there. And if you have any issues doing that, reach out to me on social media. It's super easy, and I would love to chat it up with you and show you how to do it.
Awesome. Okay, does anyone else have anything to say, or are we ready for the feeding of the backs?
Ooh, I'm excited about feedback time.
Okay. I'm nervous about feedback time. No,
So we had, as usual, we had 15 minutes. We were given a list of 5 words. Who has the words handy that they can say?
I have them. And I swear to you, this website did this. I did not stack these.
Oh, I enough.
Inaugurate, join, quill, aggressive, and nut.
Okay. So those were our words. We set a timer for 15 minutes. We got the words right before we started, so we didn't have time to sit around and think about it. And we had to write a story in 15 minutes. And so we're going to each take turns reading our story, and the rest of us are going to give only positive feedback because this is raw, unedited work. So who wants to go first?
I don't mind going first.
Okay.
Okay. So I apologize because I got a phone call from my sick daughter in the middle of the sprint, so it kind of ends abruptly. But all right, here we go. It's the GOP's fault. You inaugurate a nut job like that as president, you shouldn't expect anything less than a year of wild squirrels coming and going from chiefs of staff. I don't know that you can blame the Republican Party alone. I mean, the people elected him, right? I immediately regret adding my two cents. Having never been one to join in political debate around the coffee shop gathering, I have, up until this point, been able to drink my morning coffee in peace while the rest of the retired fellas argue the State of the Union with gusto. But now I have entered the fray. I always pegged you for a Republican, one rather aggressive elderly gentleman said. Your shoes are too shiny. I had no idea what the level of gloss on my loafers has to do with political alliance, but apparently the old man's statement rang true with the rest of the morning think tank. I'm not a Republican, I said, taking another sip of my increasingly bitter brew. No Dem I know would defend the GOP, at least not with what's going on in D.C. now. I didn't say I was a Democrat either. It wasn't a ridiculous statement, I didn't think, but apparently I had spoken the most outrageous statement these gentlemen had ever heard. How can you call yourself an American? The aggressive crypt keeper spat at me. You're either one or the other. Only a yellow-bellied draft dodger would try to ride the center line. I didn't feel the need to tell him that I was the opposite of a draft dodger, that the reason I've been able to retire so young, a good 30 years younger than any of them, is because of my 20 years as a United States Marine. It was none of their business, and I didn't want anyone in my new town to know. Three,
Yay!
Two, one.
That was great.
I was a little worried.
Why?
Just because it started so political.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, don't alienate half of our audience.
No. You characterize those old men so well.
Yeah.
Ah, thanks.
Mm-hmm. That's really good, Jen.
People are either a strong Republican at that age, from what I've noticed, they're either a strong Republican or a strong Democrat. And since I live in Michigan, it seems that there's a lot of strong Democrats around here. There's also a lot of strong Republicans. So I'm kind of more like this Marine. I'm kind of more like I really am not political. So that was kind of fun to write.
But, I love this voice and I love this character. I would love for a charming, independent woman to come walking into the coffee shop to make his coffee sweet again. I would love
you totally know I could turn this into a romance at the drop of a hat. I know. I love this guy too. So
I love this voice that you wrote it into. Very fun.
Oh,
and I really want to know why he doesn't want anyone to know he was a Marine.
Me too. I can't wait to find out.
Being a writer is fun.
Yep, I agree. Well, thanks, guys.
Okay,
In a couple months, I'm going to have to ask her, is that Marine still sitting in that coffee shop? I need to get him out of there.
Did you guys get, of course it's a sprint, so I could always develop it better, but did you get that his coffee was getting more bitter just because the conversation was like, okay, good.
I missed it.
So it wasn't why would coffee grow bitter? It's just the fact that why am I?
Sour taste in his mouth.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
All right. Well, Jamie, you're next on my little screen. Do you want to go next or should
I think it's because I've been blabbing my mouth. So you're like, well, if you're going to blab, read your story. Okay.
Well, if that was the case, you go first every week. Just kidding.
I don't know.
I'm the blabber. We all know.
I'm going to read this while I'm reading so my face is really tiny. Okay. Here we go. What an impressive specimen. Colonel Harry Blankenship turned the quill pen over in his hands. Captain Waldo Stevens watched, wincing as the colonel tapped the tip on a parchment. The colonel was not known for his delicacy. In fact, his lumbering gait, which had resulted in multiple falls down flights of stairs, and club-like hands, which had resulted in the ruination of battle plans by rout of spilled glasses of port, had earned him the nickname among his staff of Harry the Hippo. We might want to have it put in the safe, Captain Stevens suggested, until the day for the signing comes. Nonsense. I intend to inaugurate this pen immediately. I shall draft a letter to Miss Ophelia Dowerhouse. Miss Dowerhouse is abroad, I'm afraid, Captain Stevens replied. How unfortunate. The colonel set the pen on his desk and rested back in his chair, crossing his ankle over his knee and placing his hand on his chin. Any word on where she's gone? Captain Stevens shifted his weight. He did not appreciate lying to the colonel so directly, but when leaving his home the other night, Miss Dowerhouse had left him strict instructions not to share her destination with the colonel, for fear he might get the notion to join her there. She's in Prague, I believe, Captain Stevens lied. Ugh, Lutherans, came the colonel's anticipated reply. Probably on some tour visiting all those blasted cathedrals. Very possibly, sir, Stevens said. He gestured toward the quill. Shall I? The colonel waved an impatient hand. Yes, yes, take it away, lock it up, but wait, it is quite impressive. Do tell me, from whence did you acquire it? An interesting story, if it is to be believed, sir. Apparently the quill was plucked from the tail of a very aggressive breed of pheasant. You don't say. Yes, sir, indeed. The fellow who sold it to me displayed quite a significant gash on his right arm and several peck marks under his eyes. Really? Yes, apparently he makes quite a living procuring these items. What a regular nut he must be! But that sort of crazy can be useful. Do you think we could get him to join our army? Doubtful, sir. He presented not only with scratches and pecks, but also with one wooden leg, the fleshly one having been blasted off in the War of '09. Pity. Yes, sir. Well, take the quill away, lock it up, but make sure it is here for signing day. Of course, sir.
Yay!
That was so good.
That is weird.
The character names, first of all, awesome. You are so good on the fly with character names.
I think I'm in love with Ophelia Dowerhouse. I don't even know her, just her name.
I love how you made the quill the center of the story.
Yeah, I didn't even use the word. Yeah. That's awesome.
Thanks. So good.
So you're going to save that and continue on, right?
I don't know. You'll have to ask me. Is that quill still in that safe? But I do want to know, right. Did you guys catch that there was a thing with Ophelia and the captain?
That she didn't want him following her.
No, that she was at his house when she told
right.
him.
She didn't want the other guy following her.
Oh.
Like when she was leaving his house, I did catch that.
I was going to put bedchamber, but I thought that was a little too obvious. Yeah. So I just said house.
That's awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to continue this story. I got to know what's happening. It's like a soap opera.
I don't know. I don't know how you can do that. You're so good at that.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
All right.
Awesome. Okay, who's next?
You want to go so you're not last, Tina?
Yeah, I'll go. That way you don't have to hear me talking constantly without end. Okay, so I continued the series of my homeschool mom, Charlene. So here we go. Charlene wasn't feeling it today. She sat at the dining room table in her plush purple bathrobe. Her hair was thrown up in a messy bun and she held a coffee mug in her hands. The kids were all seated at the table, also in their pajamas, writing out their spelling words 5 times each. The youngest, Jimmy, had a fat pencil and the pad with fat spaces with a dotted line down the middle. Look, I wrote nut. Jimmy held up his paper for his mom to see, his face beaming with pride. Awesome. You only need to write it 4 more times now. Charlene rose to refill her mug and sighed at the mess in the kitchen. The oldest had a game the night before, and they'd all been tired and cranky by the end of the night. She'd left the dishes sitting on the counter, not even bothering to rinse them. Now the mashed potatoes were stuck to the plates like cement, and the milk in the kids' glasses was letting off an odor. She decided the dishes had waited this long. They would wait until after lunch. Just as Mom, what does inaugurate mean? Charlene gave Susie a look, and Susie sighed, typing into her keyboard with slumped shoulders. Alexa, spell aggressive. The little black device lit up and began to answer the second oldest child's question. Alexa, stop. Charlene now sent the look the other child's way, squinting for extra emphasis. I don't know why we have to go through all the trouble to type into Google when we have Alexa right here. There was a definite whine to his voice as he spoke. I know what a quill is. It's a thing that holds arrows. Susie smiled proudly as she wrote out the word. You know, when I was a kid, we didn't have Google. We had books called dictionaries, and we had to page through them until we found the word we wanted, which was in alphabetical order. The children didn't seem impressed with her story of the good old days. Charlene took another swallow of her coffee. The caffeine seemed to be taking effect now. Perhaps soon she would want to join the land of the living. Jimmy suddenly jumped up from his chair and ran for the bathroom. Charlene could see by the blossoming dark spot on his trousers that he hadn't made it. With a sigh, she rose to get him clean pants.
You are so clever.
What a poopy day.
I think it was a pee-pee day.
That was so clever the way you put those words in there. I love that.
Oh, the cement mashed potatoes and the odoriferous milk. Who has not been there, right? And then hilarious that she's like, oh, well.
I don't know what you're talking about. I wash every dish the minute we dirty it.
Well, careful. Your nose is going to break his screen.
Really, really good description there. Really great. And it's funny, too, because this is not the first story you wrote about it not really being a day where the mom is feeling super motivated, but you managed to somehow capture the fact that every day is so different in the way. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, there could be malaise, but in for different reasons. And, you know, at least the kids are doing their work this time. Yay, kids.
Yeah.
She needs to relook up Quill, though.
Well, yeah.
Quiver, right?
Yeah. Right. I was waiting for one of the boys to say, no, you stupid sister.
Well, I knew I was running out of time, so.
That's okay, because
that was coming next. Like, they were going to say, Quill does not mean that, you know. But
yes, and you were really, really clever because that's a great way to use up all those words.
Mm-hmm.
Really? I thought that was kind of like a cop-out. But
I no.
It's called a device, Tina.
Those spelling words. I could have thought about having her giving them a spelling test, but their ages were all so different that that would have been weird. So
it was really good.
Thank you.
Really fun to listen to.
Okay, Rhonda, your turn.
Okay. Well, I'm not even going to say anything. All right. My decision to inaugurate Z as the new museum curator was a good one, I believe. She hasn't disappointed me yet. I take my seat behind the reference desk and continue watching her from back there. She still gets a little nervous in front of an audience, even of one. Rose walks up, smiling. Are you dusting that shelf or trying to start a fire with that duster? I nod at Z. She's making me nervous on that ladder, so I want to be close enough to break her fall if need be. She's struggling with the uppermost layer of the display she's working on. What's she doing up there? She designed it to commemorate Flint's anniversary. I'm sure you'll be at the parade, right? Of course. I can't wait for you to see the precious hat I bought for it. It's a new style called Pillbox. I'm sure it's lovely, I said, causing her face to beam. I thought it was very clever of her to make the top piece of golden car like the one being unveiled at the parade. I get Rose's attention with a light elbow to the ribs and point my cool duster at the door. Look who just walked in to join Z. I couldn't restrain my smile. I'm so relieved she's dating again. That aggressive nut she dated in high school really caused her grief. I watched the young man, Arthur, is it? Sneak up behind her and say something, causing her to finally topple. I start to run over there, but Rose has a grip on my arm. Let's see what happens. She's wide-eyed and agape, clearly enjoying the scene before her. To my relief, Arthur catches both her and the golden car and sets her gently on the floor. Shh. Or, no, shh. Rosie and I both say in unison and then sink behind the reference desk, giggling like schoolgirls.
That is so fun.
That's awesome.
They're like, no, let's see what happens. I mean, if they were younger, they'd be like whipping out their phones to like make hundreds of dollars on it on a video channel, you know, right. Like that's great. I love what do you call it? Looking what Spine. Is eavesdropping?
That's the word.
Awesome.
That was great. I really enjoyed it. I like too that like I've already read your piece for the postcast and I feel like this was like Thank you. Yeah, that was the app. It was like some the same story from a different perspective, and I thought that was awesome.
Yes, I caught that too.
And you did it on the fly, which is so cool. Like, yeah, good job.
Yeah, and the words that we were assigned did not seem way out of place in there.
Mm-mm. I don't know if you can make a duster out of quills, probably. But
oh, huh? Yeah, I mean, I guess if I were looking at it, it might trip me up. But hearing it, I did not even hear it. I thought feather duster. Isn't that funny?
Good. Best of both worlds.
Yay!
Great. Awesome.
I forgot to even listen for the words, so I was caught up in the story. So, all right, good job. Okay, it's time to visit the accountability corner. This is where we check in on one another to make sure that we're moving forward on our journey toward publication. We each have our own path toward publication, and we're just going to go around and see how we're doing. So let's go backwards this time, Rhonda. You want to go first? How are you doing? Getting your goals met?
Well, my goals met. I am getting a lot of content on my blog, so I'm really excited about that. And my first draft being done has really propelled me forward. So I'm excited to write every day. I know where I'm going and all that. So I would say I'm plugging along.
Awesome. Jamie?
I'm doing great. Got the book club published, but I want to be clear because as I was thinking, during the podcast, I said that I had cowardly set my goal of 500 words. Well, that's not for you all, hasn't been really announced, but what it is I'm a part of a writing daily challenge. It's called the 365 Writing Challenge. Now you're too late to get in on it this year, and they're really strict about that. But every year they start signups in December, and you sign up and commit to writing a certain amount of words every day. Now they've become a weekly goal type of a group because too many people get discouraged if they miss a day. So if you don't write all 365 days a year, you're not out. So I set a weekly goal of 2,500 words, which is totally a cop-out for me because that's 5 days, 500 words. But I was really scared to put into writing I would do 1,000 words a day because the week between Christmas and New Year's Eve was so crazy for me. I was writing nowhere near 1,000 words a day. And so I wanted to make sure that my goal was realistic and attainable. So personally, I want to be doing 1,000 words a day, but officially on paper, I'm committing to 2,500. Now, I would like to move to where I'm writing at NaNoWriMo levels, which would be like 1,700-ish words a day. So I'm going to see how I do for the month of January at 1,000 and then maybe bump that up a little bit when February 1st rolls around. So that's when February 1st rolls around, I'll let you know if I'm ready to bump up to maybe 1,250 a day or something like that. So that's where I am. What about you, Tina? What are you doing with your accountability?
Well, my goals that I set for myself were to keep the office hours, to write at least 500 to 1,000 words a day, and to get my novel done by the end of February. Like that's my goal that's like in the forefront of my mind right now. And I'm doing that and I'm well on my way to having that goal complete.
Awesome.
Being done at the end of February. And once I've done that, I filled out this whole worksheet of everything that I want to get done for each month of the year. And it's all dependent on my estimate of how long it's going to take me to edit actually being accurate. But we'll
right.
see.
Awesome.
What about you, Jennifer?
Well, my goals were keeping office hours, which have been pretty good. I've been able to do that except for I had one day last week that was miserable and I wasn't feeling well. So I did not make office hours that day. But I've been pretty good about the office hours. And my other goal was to re-outline my book 3, which is behind me. And I am working on that. So I'm actually ahead of the game because my goal was to re-outline it completely this month so that starting February 1st, the rewrite could start. And I've already started rewriting parts of it while I'm re-outlining it. So I'm kind of a little ahead of the game. So I feel pretty good about that. The only thing I'm really not feeling good about are things that are completely out of my control. And that's my book that is with an editor that seems like I might have to I need to contact the editor and see what is going on because every time I contact him, it's like, yep, I'm on it. And so, you know, it sounds great and that it's going to work out. And then I don't hear, I get ghosted for a while. So by next week, my goal is to have a definitive answer from this editor and to know whether or not I need to look for another editor.
So. Okay. So we're talking, what is this, Tuesday? So Tuesday is the day for us to ask you about that, right? When we yes. get together for office hours. Okay.
All right. Awesome.
Tina, what's did we do you yet, Tina?
Yes,
ready for me. We got everybody. Yep.
Yep, we sure did. So I guess that's it. I just want to encourage everybody. If you want to watch our postcast, which is where we all just kind of let it all hang out and get really crazy. and we get serious too. We have works that we've working on and they've been edited and more polished. And we're giving real full-on critiques to each other, helping each other out, that kind of thing. So if you want to see some serious stuff and some shenanigans mixed in, go over to Patreon and sign up to be a patron for $2 a month. You can see all of our postcasts. So this concludes the Christian Indie Writers Podcast. Join us next week when we don't know what the topic will be, but it'll be something. I'm sorry, I just read that in the...
We're gonna be live next week, so
going live.
Yeah, so make sure and tune in next week on Thursday as we go live to tell you what the latest and greatest happenings with us are.
Awesome. Okay, so until next week, may your pen be prolific, your deadlines be met, and may all of your words honor Christ.
Bye.
Bye.